Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
I have on the program Zane with me, known for heavy avant-garde sound that mixes experimental noise with electronic club sensibilities. Bonnike's Zane, a.k.a. K-Vocal, is a self-professed making scary beats and is also a sound engineer by trade. They're now here to chat about their latest album, The Light of Life, available on Bandcamp now. Welcome, Zane, to the program. How are you this morning?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm good. You are on the side of a road in a car, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
whereabouts are you? Are you in Nelson? Are you on the way to Nelson?
I'm still in Wellington. We've got the ferry in like an hour.
Nice. Can I say you like hoping and praying nothing goes wrong with it?
Yeah, apparently every other ferry got cancelled today, but so far we're looking good.
That's okay. I'm hedging my bets for you.
Thanks.
Now, I just want to start off with this question. It's a very basic question. I try not to ask boring questions, but where was this musical project born for you?
It started at a flat in Mount Vic about 4 years ago now. I decided I had to make some music that didn't let me be a perfectionist, because otherwise I'd never release it.
Yeah.
So I was like living next to a big, like, you know, Mount Vic, the bush is a real special place. So I was walking up there every day, and I think one of the Lord of the Rings scenes was filmed in there somewhere. So it's like a good spooky vibe for night walks and that.
Yeah.
And I was listening to heaps of Witch House.
Sick.
And I was like, you know what? I could make this. This music is like openly, like, it all openly sounds the same, and that's not a problem.
Yeah.
I love genres where like the genre itself is so good that the individual track doesn't matter. Like, as long as it does the tropes, it's going to hit pretty good.
I was actually just kind of talking about this on the program earlier. I was playing a lot of like hyperpop at the start of the show, and it gets to a point where you're like, these songs like often sound the same, but
yeah.
That's not really the point. The point is that it's hitting on the tropes. It's doing what it does well.
Yeah. Yeah. I take a lot of inspiration from like dub and reggae music, and that's like
sick.
Back in Jamaica when they didn't have the musical copyright laws,
yeah,
everyone would just like use each other's riffs, and it wasn't even a bad thing. Like, you could just use it and it would be a compliment, you know, if someone else used your bass line or something. And so it creates like, it means the whole genre becomes one sort of flow state, you know.
Totally. Kind of recording production wise, I was going to ask, was this like you and a laptop in your bedroom? But I have recently learned that it was you recording in your like car, kind of car seat headrest style. Was it were you learning while you were doing it, or were you coming into it going like, I already know how to do all this, this is just a new form of it for me?
I think this album, I really wanted to play around with vocals, and that's very new to me. Like, I've wanted to express myself and use my words for my whole life, but I am not a naturally gifted vocalist in any sense. So coming into this, I was like, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm going to find a way. With the production and the musical side of it, I very much have my footing in sound design, but trying to write songs and like, I don't know, write songs that feel like songs.
Yeah.
And use my voice expressively on it was definitely very new for me. It made me feel like a complete amateur, and that was really good for me. And that sort of brought out an extra, you know, enhanced that vulnerability that I think people enjoyed on this release.
Yeah, I heard from an inside source, aka our program director, that this was a very personal release for you. How did you go about exploring those personal themes and feelings? I mean, you said, you know, you were doing the vocals on it for the first kind of time and playing around with that, but I'm always interested with electronic music. I think it can be so much more of a personal thing than people think, in terms of what electronic music is saying at the times where there isn't vocals. And on this one, like, you have some parts that are so cinematic and dramatic.
Yeah, I guess, like, I guess that sort of, I don't know, you got to have some belief in the magic of music where even though it's, even if it's just some bleep bloops, it's like the more you think about when you're constructing those and making all the decisions surrounding the nuances of those bleep bloops, like that somehow gets embedded in it or enmeshed in it.
Totally.
And somehow people can feel that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Those two tracks, The Light of Life, Part 1 and 2, titled The First Part of Life and The Final Part of Life. I'd love to know the kind of backstory behind those ones and their names.
The names, I think, came a lot afterwards. I think I have this thing where every time I make a track, I'm like, this track is definitely an ending of an album. But then I have like 8 endings. And so configuring that is kind of like a puzzle.
Yeah.
But I realized, I was like, maybe the key is to just make a track that's even more epic and doomy and final sounding. And I did that, and then I put another track on it. So, like, I don't know. But I think it makes the most sense it could have.
Yeah.
The titles, yeah, I don't know. I was just being silly. It's like... a very dramatic sound, and I thought it was funny to sound so final but not have it be the ending. But I think it's, yeah, it's just kind of gloomer stuff where it's like, you know, you've got like this part of life where you're new to everything and, you know, exploring and the world is exciting, and then the rest of your life is just one long like slow decline.
Yeah, ain't it though? Yeah, I actually had someone who was talking to me once that they're like, yeah, I had this EP listing and I wanted this to be the final song, but then I had this other song that I didn't know where to put it, so I just said that the final song, that the like final song was a bonus track. And I was like, yeah, that's such a clever way around of doing that.
Yeah, I did consider doing that, but then I was so attached to the final track, I was like, it needs to, I don't want it to feel left out, you know. That that last track was one of, I think it was the second ever track I started for this project back in 24 or 22 or whatever it was. So that was like a really, I didn't even have access to the original project file for it. I was, it's essentially like a remix of what it was.
Wow.
But I had the kind of the ending of that track worked out since then, and I convinced my flatmate to do vocals on it. And I was like, this is so good that I couldn't release it because I couldn't come up with like a verse or another part of the track that was good enough, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like now that I've been really trying to focus on composition and songwriting, I could kind of figure that out to some extent.
Nice. On the Bandcamp, on the Bandcamp website, on your Bandcamp website, you have the album to buy on tape, and you say that you'll send them like a full uninterrupted file of the release, i.e. the intended listening experience. How do you kind of view in modern music listening habits and how the single kind of works into music promotion compared to with electronic music?
Yeah, I think about it a lot. It is kind of like, I'm an old school guy, and I'm a bit of an old man when it comes to like singles. I'm like, I don't want to have to, you know, especially with the layout of Bandcamp. Like, if I buy like 8 singles from someone, it's just like I have to scroll past all 8 of them every time I need to get to the thing before it.
Yeah,
and it's just like a pain. And then I also am just a very big album listener. Like, I don't want to spend, you know, ages choosing one track to listen to, and then when that finishes, I have to choose another one. Like, I like to sit and forget it somewhat. So, I also think, like, some of my most enjoyable listening experiences are when something is just on in the background, and I kind of come in and out of focus with it. If I'm, like, painting or something like that, or driving, like, it's really good to just So yeah, I'm a traditionalist. I like albums.
Yeah, I've been kind of the same with, I've been buying a lot of CDs because it is just that, like, I can put it on and I don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
And like the act of then putting something else on is a physical act. It's not just like wanting to autoplay something or going like, oh, now I have to search through this whole library. I'm like, no, I own 20 CDs. So yeah. It has to be one of these 20 albums.
I also really have a longing for the days of like 2000s pop CDs where they would sort of feel the need to like fill out the runtime by having all these kind of like tracks that they didn't even release as singles and like tracks they knew weren't that good, but like they kind of would mess around a bit more with it and have some fun with it.
Yeah, because it didn't feel like the stakes were so high.
Yeah. Like I was saying, I was talking on Radioactive about my love for the Black Eyed Peas and the album The End, the bonus edition where they sort of just, it's like 42 tracks or something, I don't know, and they just like go all over the place and you kind of have to experiment. Even as like a mainstream pop act, you have to like try some new things, and so it's just like you always end up with some oddballs that hit after a while.
Yeah. Were you ever jamming any like Euro House or stuff like that when you were younger?
Is that like David Guetta stuff or
kind of like like think more like the Venga Boys?
Nah, I didn't hear a lot of that as a kid, but now that I hear it, I'm like, it suddenly hit me. I'm like, I'm usually about 15 years behind like what's trending, so.
No, I think it's a cooler time to be into the Venga Boys now.
Yeah, true.
I was talking kind of earlier on the program about the aesthetics of music, like I was talking about hyperpop, but in the electronic, kind of more noisy electronic world too, there is such aesthetics to it in the way people look and dress in the photos that they post online. And when I was kind of like looking at your Instagram, it's the same thing. Like you got the monster in the hand. You kind of got the glitched out editing and the blurry dark photos with the street lights and stuff. Is that something, do you think like, oh, I'm in this genre and I'm embodying this, sorry. Or is it kind of the other way around? You embody it and then you find the music genre?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I think I've never had like a very high quality phone camera, which was
that helps.
Know, very much a driving force of that. I think I did because I wasn't really on Instagram much before like feeling the need to have one to promote this.
Mm-hmm.
As a way of kind of like avoiding putting any of my actual personality online, I sort of was like, yeah, I'll just, you know, post blurry, moody pictures and be vague. And that's a lot easier for me. But I have to point out that I cannot rip Monster anymore because it gives me heart palpitations whenever I drink it. So I had to quit that, unfortunately.
Now you can't be an electronic musician. They actually take away your card for that now. that's a good point. I didn't think about that maybe it's just like a genre of people who all want to kind of remain semi-anonymous, and that's where the kind of aesthetic comes from.
I had to kind of like trick myself into putting my personality into it, you know, by like I'll be like making the song and be like, I'm never going to show anyone this is just for me. And then I'll sort of like black out and post it and then be like, well, good. Spiritually black out, that is, not from anything naughty.
We are adhering to the broadcasting standards act here on Radio 1. Well, thanks so much for joining me on the program.
Thanks for having me.
I think everyone should definitely go check out the album. It's on Bandcamp now, available for purchase as well as on tape. Have fun on the rest of your tour. You're kind of on tour right now. Have fun with that. I wish you luck in getting across to Nelson today.
Thanks so much.
Cool. Is there anything else you'd like to end off with to the great people of Otipote, Dunedin?
I'll catch you guys in like 3 days. Come to the Western Haikus show.
Sick. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Zane.
All right, thanks for having me. Have a good day.
All good. That was Zane on the program talking about new release. The light of life. Here is Kivikal with Waste of God on Te Reo Irirangi Ko Tahi. Stick around, we'll have some kai time before the end of the program.
Seeds, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.